to the question of the third son, who's called the Tam, translated the simple son, is Mazos, what is this? Tell him, you know, with a strong hand, God took us out of Egypt. Why is he called the simple son? What's his question? He asks, what is this? What's the question? And what is the answer? With a strong hand, Hashem took us out of Egypt. Truth is, the term Tam, translated as the simple son, but it's not simple in a negative way, because we find this term used by none other than Yaakov Avinu. That the Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. Parshas told us that Yaakov was a Tam, a wholesome man, who sits in the tent. Of Chazal say sits in the tent, meaning he was learning in the yeshiva of Shem and Aver. And Rashi explains there, Tom means, honest and straightforward. He's not sly. Doesn't mean he's lacking intelligence. In terms of he's just honest and straightforward, and he lacks slyness. Right? So it's not stupidity. We're talking about simplicity in its positive sense, like, good simple folk that are very straightforward, and because people are slyer. Have all types of complexities behind their reasoning and behind their actions, because they're always thinking something other than what they're actually saying and actually doing, because they have agendas. Simple and straightforward. He's straightforward. So, what is the question of this straightforward son, as it were, good, honest person? Right? Mm-hmm. So, one thing is for sure, since we say Tam, which also is a synonym for being wholesome, honest, non-sly, so there's definitely no element of rebellion in his question, like that of the Rosha. But again, we still have to understand, what is his question? This question is asked in the Chumash in context of the halacha of Arifas Peter Hamor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says after Makas Becharos and Parshas Bo, Kadosh Li, Kol Bechor Petrechem, sanctify for me, the firstborn of man and of beast. There's the halacha of the kedusha of bechor on the kosher animal. There's the halacha of kedusha of bechor on the firstborn donkey. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kili kol bechor, v'neso tachas kol bechor. I take the firstborn of the Jewish people in place of all the firstborns of the Egyptians that I killed. As it were, because I killed the firstborn of Egypt, you owe this to me, to sanctify your firstborns. So, that in itself is strange, because it sounds like the cause and effect is, because God smote the firstborns of Egypt, so we have to return the favor and sanctify our firstborns of man and beast. And in Parsha Shmos already, the cause and effect is actually said in reverse. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Moshe to Pharaoh in Parsha Shmos and says, B'ni B'chorisot, tell him that the Jewish people are like my firstborn son. And if you don't send Inen Chom Shach Sami, if you don't send my people, Hini Horek is Bin Chobarach, I'm going to kill your firstborn. It says over there that the cause and effect was reversed. We're already God's firstborn. And if Pharaoh won't set us free, so quid pro quo, you're not honoring my firstborn, I'm going to kill your firstborn. So the cause and effect is actually the reverse of the way it's written in the end of Parshas Bo, where because God smote the firstborn of the Egyptians, we have to sanctify our firstborn. That also needs explanation. But going on in all the halachas of Kedushas Bechor, the halachas of the sanctification of the firstborn, so the firstborn donkey, if it's not redeemed with a set with a sheep, so Varakto, you have to break its neck. So, right after that, the Torah says, Kisharcha Bincha Mazos, the son will ask, what's this? Seemingly, he sees the breaking of the neck of the donkey. So he tells him, with a strong hand, God took us out of Egypt. Alright, so what is seeing the breaking of the neck of the donkey? Like, what is so problematic about that that it causes the son to ask? And really, that's supposed to be a question about mitzvahs in general, because the answer is, with a strong hand, God took us out of Egypt, and therefore we sanctify the firstborn. Right, so we have to understand that this paradox about the kedusha of firstborn, the question we asked that from Parshas Shmos seems the cause and effect is the opposite of what it seems in Parshas Bo. And we have to understand what about is so troubling to this honest son. You know, and what exactly is his question, what exactly is the answer. So truth is like this. A person who is honest, he's only bothered by what's clearly strange. So just like in the simple reading of the puzzle, you see something strange, like breaking the neck of a good, healthy animal, it seems to be a big waste. So he asks, what is this? Something that's clearly out of order, right? Something that's clearly strange, something that bothers the honest person. Right? He's not looking to ask questions. He's not being sly. Right? He's no big philosopher either. Right? He's a straight, honest person, and when he sees something strange, he asks, what's this? I mean, referring to that which is strange. And truly, his question about the breaking of the neck of the donkey is a question that we can have by all mitzvahs. Right? Like over there, breaking the neck of the donkey, like if this thing is holy, right, and if this thing is useful, why are you breaking its neck? Right? You know, it should attain its goal. Like, why is its neck being broken? Right? This is the type of question that one has by all mitzvahs, that you know, a good, honest person, you know, even though his faith is firm and unswerving, a person has this question by all mitzvahs, that if mitzvahs are true and if mitzvahs are just, so why do bad things happen to good people, or how does God allow certain things to happen? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Dal talks about a series of questions that Chazal were asked that are questions that should bother any honest person, not in a way that shows that he's having heretical thoughts. Just a question that's strange, and you know, why does it work this way? The Chazal were asked, if God hates idol worship, why does he just get rid of all the idols? Right? Because I'll answer, well, what should he do? People worship the sun. Should God extinguish the sun? People worship the oceans. Should God dry up the oceans? Yovad Olam Tzeh Shotim, should God destroy his world because of the fools? Right? So, rather, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets the world, Olam Kiminhago Hoylech, the world runs in its natural manner that God will it to run it. And these fools, they'll just pay for their actions at the end of time. Similarly, later in the Gemara, they ask a question like this. A person steals, wheat kernels. And then after he steals them, he plants them, and it grows, and he gets bushels and bushels of wheat from stolen kernels. Why does it work if God hates theft? And the answer to the Gemara is the same thing. Look, God is not going to destroy the laws that he wants the world to run by because of these evildoers. Let them do their evil, but in the end, they'll pay for it. So, we have this question by all mitzvahs, right? If God wants something, right? So, why is it seemingly that we can go against his will, right? If God wants something from us, so how the pastor cannot do his will? Right? If God wants something, so his will is absolute, so the result should be guaranteed and should be impossible to do anything other than the result that God desires. And yet we see that in this whole arena of mitzvahs and averus, God forbid, man successfully transgresses. Right? And how is that possible? He successfully transgresses and seemingly gains from his transgression. Comes out ahead, at least in this world, so it would seem. Right? And even in mitzvahs, if God wants certain things, right, so they should happen automatically because God's will is omnipotent. So it shouldn't be dependent on our actions. Do we want to do? Do we not want to do? And this is really the duality by the kedusha of the firstborn, right? This question that we have about all mitzvahs and how is it? Mitzvahs are up to us. It's up to us to do, and it's even in our hands, God forbid, to disobey. And how could that be? If this is what God wants from us, and this is what he said to do, this is what he said what not to do, how is it possible it's in our hands to do or not do? If this is his will, then he should get his results out of us no matter what. All right, so this duality is the paradox of the kedusha of the firstborn. Right? The Kedusha of the firstborn, you're born that way. God chose his firstborn son, and every firstborn is born holy. It's not something that's done by choice, it's by divine will. And yet there's a halacha of kadoshly kol b'chor, there's a halacha of sanctifying the firstborn. According to Rebbe in the Gemara, even an animal that's born with Kedusha of the firstborn, there's a halacha of to sanctify it anyway, even though it was born holy, it's in our hands. We make this Kedusha, even though it's saying that God willed already from the onset, and God does, you know, out of, you know, on his own accord, he makes things born that way, but still, we act as if this Kedusha is in our hands. We take off the Kedusha. Firstborn is born with Kedusha, and you could redeem it. There's Pidyon, you know, Petzer Chamor, and if you don't redeem it, break its neck, as if it's in our hands to take off the Kedusha that it was born with by divine will. It's our hands to make this Kedusha that it was anyway born with. So it's a strange duality that it's God's will, yet it's in our hands. It's God's will, but yet it's in our hands. In our hands, both that it's up to us to make it happen, and God forbid, it's even in our hands to disobey, and seemingly the disobedience is real. It's not by our perception. A person steals wheat, and he's able to grow many more bushels of wheat out of it. That's his question. What is this? This is a question that bothers every honest person. I believe that God's will is absolute, and I have to live by that will, but if it's absolute, so why is it in my hands? It's a question every person has in mitzvahs, generally asks it in the negative. If it's God's will, so how do people going against God's will have success in going against his will? How could it be? That's the mazos. What is this? Because this is the paradox we have by all mitzvahs. So the answer is, B'chol Yad Hotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim. With a strong hand, God took us out of Egypt. So this in itself is something that should be thought-provoking. With a strong hand, God took us out of Egypt. As if, what does strong hand mean? Means that God overpowered the Egyptians. As the pasuk indeed goes on to say, Vayiki hiksha paro shalcheinu, as paro hardened his heart and refused to let us go, Baruch Hashem kol b'chor, God killed all his firstborn. Alright, he stood up against God, and so God broke him. God overpowered him. Ain't God overpowered him? Chozek Yad with a strong hand, God overpowers. What does God have to overpower for? God could just will that Paro shouldn't stand up to him in the first place. As it were, God could do magic that Paro should decide to send the Jewish people out. And God could do magic that there should be no resistance that needs to be broken in the first place. And from where does the resistance come that God has to break that resistance? That's also the question. Where does the resistance come that God, as it were, has to overpower the resistance? God could just do magic. Everything should just be good from the get-go. All right, so this is the lesson that we teach the Tom. You have to understand that God wants mitzvahs to be in our hands, and that's for our benefit, because if mitzvahs are not in our hands, then it's not called our achievement, and we're not deserving of any reward. And we're not deserving of having any relationship with him. It's called return towards him if mitzvahs aren't in our hands to do or not to do. God wants mitzvahs really, really in our hands to do or not to do, so it should really be called our work and our achievement and our turning towards him. Right. And for that purpose also, the world runs on the natural laws that it runs on. The reason why we have the biology and the chemistry and the physics that we know today is because it's in the arena of those laws that man makes a real difference. If the world would run by different laws, then man's actions wouldn't have a real impact. It's only when the world runs by these God-given laws that man's actions have real effects. And that's what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah. God's not going to change the laws of the world because of the evildoers. God wants these laws. He wants these laws of biology. He wants these laws of physics. And he's not going to change them because of the evildoers, because he wants man to indeed be master over himself, whether he's on God's side or not on God's side. Man should decide that for himself, and decide it in a real way, not in a perceived way. That's why God wants these laws of nature, because that's the arena in which man's deeds make realities. But don't think that the sinner will really, really come out ahead. Even though God gives real room for man's actions to make a difference, but still, God will make sure to overpower that real room that he gives man to do his thing, so as never should ever come out that the sinner will have successfully rebelled against God and come out ahead. God forbid, that won't happen. As much as God will give man room to be a master, seemingly of his own destiny, he'll only be master in how he positions himself. But whether he'll gain or lose, God will make sure he'll lose. That's what it means. Let the evildoers do their thing, right, and the world will run in its customary way, but they're going to pay at the end. Right, I want them to have the latitude to position themselves as they see fit, but I'm going to make sure that at the end of it, they won't gain. Right, this person that stole this wheat kernels and grew all these bushels of wheat with stolen kernels, one thing's for sure, spiritually for sure didn't gain. One cannot imagine that he'll get any type of spiritual benefit from those, you know, bushels of wheat that were grown from stolen kernels. That for sure, it's easy to understand that he won't get any type of spiritual benefit from doing wrong. But even physical benefit, you don't know the long run. Could be that on the surface he gained a lot from those stolen kernels, but if you look at the big picture of his finances, he had big losses in real estate or on the stock market, and he comes out in the great balance sheet of it, he really didn't gain anything. Right? And that's because of God, with the great hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though he allows man to have real room to position himself and to move things around in the world, right? But with that also, God with the strong hand will make sure that the end of destiny, right, justice is done. Even though man had real space to position himself, at the end of time, justice will be done. And the righteous will have it good and will come out ahead, and those who are wicked will come out behind, and we'll see in retrospect that they never gained anything, even though they were successful in positioning themselves in different positions, but there was no net gain from that. Not certainly spiritually not, and even physically, even financially there wasn't. So that's the simple son's question. Mazos, how does it work? You know, this duality that it's divine will, but yet it's up to us. That's the strange thing that we see in life, that the evildoers seemingly have success. That's the mazos, right? That seemingly, you know, God's will seemingly is thwarted. If it's God's will, no one ever should do wrong, and everyone should be doing right, and evil should never be successful. That's the strangeness that he sees, the strangeness that every honest person sees. And the question a person, an honest believing person, wants an answer to, not because he's having any doubts, he just wants to reconcile. And we say, because the God of Hashem Mitzrayim, with a strong hand, God took us out of Egypt, even though God gave space for a man to really position himself as he sees fit. Despite that, that God gives man that space, like the space that Pharaoh had to stand up against God. But because of God, with a strong hand, God overrides that to make sure that even though man has that real power, at the end, only good will befall the good, and only bad will befall the bad people.